Hello, welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We're a podcast based in the northeast of England where I like to talk about cool art things. My name's Alice.
And my name's Rosie.
And we have a mini-sode.
Hey,
it's been a little while, hasn't it, since a mini-sode?
Yeah, I like a good mini-sode though.
Yeah.
Just like a little bit of bonus material. Because we have unfinished business.
Yes, so if you recall, if you listened all the way to the end of last week's video, we mentioned how we're going to do a little mini-sode about a different exhibition that we saw at Humber Street Gallery. And we thought a mini-sode would work because it's not on anymore.
Yes, so we don't want to like tease you too much.
Yeah, we don't want to get your hopes up.
No. But it was good and it could be useful. You never know. Like, look up the artist or like see what's going on. And just more inspiration to check out the gallery because...
Oh, indeed.
10 out of 10.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. So this exhibition, that we talked about in the full episode on Saturday was about Proboscidea wrappings by Ollie Duke, which was in the project space of Humber Street Gallery. But this one was like the big exhibition that was on two floors.
Yeah. Because we walked in and we were like prepared to see Jumbo, which was like what we referred to that exhibition as.
Yes.
And we went around the whole gallery. And we're like, where's it going to be? Because this exhibition takes up literally all the space. But fab. Lush.
Pretty cool.
Can't wait to tell you about it.
It was called Equinipolis by Aniara Oman. And it was just a bit bizarre, really, wasn't it?
It was very strange.
But just awesome.
Strange in the way I like it.
Oh, yeah.
It was totally my cup of tea. Very kind of like minimal. But like... And very like clean and crisp, but also just a bit
out there,
strange, a bit uncanny, bit sinister.
Is good.
I think uncanny is definitely the word.
Well, I think sinister is interesting because it's not like there's nothing in it that says that this is like a negative sort of thing because it's all about like
totally
futurism.
Yeah.
It's like sci-fi, kind of looking at alternate futures and like where that could take we're. But it's interesting because lots of sci-fi has negative spins on it because essentially sci-fi movies, sci-fi books are looking into the unknown, and if the unknown's different is bad.
Yes, often.
According to human history.
Yes.
So this kind of looks at that, and it is like very bright white and clean, so it's kind of like a bit like sterile,
I was
going to
say clinical is always
clinical,
the word I go
that's
for.
That's the one.
But I like sterile.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that was quite... That's a very futuristic thing.
I feel like
in like sci-fi, it's always either super-duper clean or super-duper dirty.
Yeah.
No in between.
No. Simply not. I'm trying to think of like movie examples. So like there's...
Blade Runner.
Sorry?
Blade Runner is the perfect example of both of those things.
Yeah.
Because on the like lower levels, everything's grimy and gross. But then all the rich people, it's like super clean.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like kind of weirdly so though.
Yes. Oh, there we go. Perfect. as I said, it was kind of split into two floors. So like the first one was like sound, like a sound piece just kind of emanating around the room.
Ooh, can I use my favorite? Soundscape.
Yeah. Ooh, and it was a soundscape.
When you first walked in, you thought you were walking into an empty room?
Mm-hmm.
That's something to note. Curation corner.
Yes. I want to walk around just real quick. Curation corner. Go for it.
Curation corner. You walk in, you think it's an empty room. Done. When you walk around, like, because it was a bit strange, you walk in and it's just this really like, it was kind of ambient, kind of like, yeah, like it wasn't like in your face kind of music. It was very like background music, because that makes
just
it like, I think
not,
that
so it wasn't
it.
Like it wasn't music, it wasn't singing, it was
sound,
just like, it was noise.
Noise, that's a great description. It was just noise, like abstract noise. Loved it. So when you have a look, because there's also kind of spotlights around the room. So when you kind of pay a little bit more attention, you realize there is actually teeny tiny little wall-based works.
Yes.
And it's little kind of eye shapes, like clear resin with little shells in it. So it especially makes it look like an eye because it kind of looks like the colored bit. And so you can walk around and there are all these little tiny little preserved artifacts. And then in the very middle of the room is a strange face.
Yes.
Lucy?
She was called Lucy.
Lucy, I remember. I hadn't read that. And it's been a while. So Lucy made an impression on me. Very strange. I don't know if there was motion sensors, but when you walk up, Lucy starts to move her eyes.
Yes, and mouth?
Yeah, I think so. Just general face.
Mm-hmm.
But her like, eyes are closed. So it's like when someone's asleep and they're
kind of. So Lucy's face, and it's just like, it's just a kind of general alien face, really. Kind of like E.T., but with a bit more of a nose and with massive, like a big mouth.
I thought it was strange because it's very like ape-like to me.
Ooh, yeah, no, I can see that.
So it's almost like, because then this is another thing that a lot of sci-fi does, where it's a mix between the past and the future.
Mm-hmm.
Like the future is a mixture of what has been and what will be.
Yeah. But like, it's a kind of, I don't know, how do you describe the material? It's kind of like a rubbery, latexy thing with like a kind of skeletal frame underneath, which like has the kind of animatronic elements to it, which makes it look like our eyes are moving, like under our eyes. It's like really creepy, but it's so creepy. Cool.
But then like in its execution, like the aesthetics of it, it almost looks like she's made of kind of ice, like some parts of the material are really rugged, and then it goes into this smooth,
like a bit more translucent.
Yeah, like more of a skin. And then that to me is like ice agey, like is this something that's preserved? Again, it's all about being preserved in my mind.
I did not even think of that. I like that. That's pretty cool. That's like the preservation flaw.
Yes, because that contrasts quite dramatically to the other room.
Yes, it does.
Which is like my favorite room.
It was pretty sick. We spent some time in this room.
A lot of time. And a lot of like theories were bounced around.
Oh, yeah. Well,
some of them silly.
Some of them, I mean, you're gonna have some silly theories, really.
Oh, another thing we should mention is like, I don't know. Well, obviously, Hull is by the sea.
It is,
which I think is important. So, like, the location of the gallery.
Oh, I agree.
The hints to the sea, because in that first room, seashells. Mm-hmm. Second room, there is seaweed everywhere.
Like a whole bunch of it.
But my goodness, that's not what you first notice.
Oh no, it's very secondary. So the second gallery or the second floor is just a bunch of sculptural pieces and they resemble like not the human body, but you can see that it's like a skeletal sort of thing. So like they are standing or crawling or like look like they are like about to move in some way.
They have
but
structural integrity.
They certainly do. And do you know what else they also have? Clothes.
Yes.
It was amazing. So they were all like clothes from 1890 to 1980, with one being made by a designer for this exhibition. But like, how can we describe these sculptures? Obviously go check out our Instagram and our Twitter because they'll be on there. But for someone who isn't doing that right now.
Right. So it's a cross between, do you know those figures that you can learn to draw the human body proportionally?
Oh,
so the little
yes.
wooden like figures that you
mannequin
can kind of move
type
around
dealies.
And like make them do different like tennis poses or a running pose or like, yeah, like, so it's kind of like that in that it's wooden and it's got little like
limbs
joints.
And stuff that you can bend.
Yeah, because it's got like just a rod for the body, mm-hmm. and then like what would be kind of a shoulder,
like and hips,
and then out of those come these like limbs.
Yeah,
but they're like pointy, and I'm sure there's like a horror film that has.
Oh, I'm sure I gave an example on the day, but I can't think of what it is.
Is it something like it's not Resident Evil or like
kind of like Half-Life? You know, like the. There's like these little scuttly alien creatures in Half-Life games, kind of like
they are
that.
Scuttly. That's what these look like.
Yeah, like they do. Like I think the even though they've got, I guess, what would be a more less of an exoskeleton. Well, would it be an exoskeleton? I don't know. But you think insect. You think something that has to crawl on all fours.
Yes.
Because some of them are standing up, which is hilarious. There's one wearing like an old ass pair of Levi jeans, but it's leaning against a wall. And I think I made you do a caption on the Instagram story of "Howdy, cowboy."
Yes, you did. Well, that's it, because the clothes give an indication of like of hips and shoulders, and therefore like where a head would be, and arms and legs, and the front and back of what this thing is. All I'm going to say as well, this could make the most sinister stop motion animation.
yeah dude,
it's they are just, it's almost like they are like you're frozen in time, like when you walk in, because they look like human people, but it looks like they're doing a really weird like interpretive dance, and that like the room has just stopped in time and we can walk around them and like have a little look.
Kind of like the angels in Doctor Who.
Yes.
That's creepy. But imagine as well walking into that room with the lights off and just like the ambient light from the street lights outside. How creepy would that be? My God.
No thanks. It's a hard no. I'll pass.
Yep. But as you mentioned, there's tons of seaweed just knocking about. And the reason for this is pretty cool. So it was all harvested from Scarborough, so northern. And it's known for its sustainable properties and was apparently used in like the Stone Age as a source of forage food. But it's also like a massive CO2 inhibitor. So like in this current climate of the climate getting warmer.
Yeah.
Important. But just like interesting. That's a fun fact I didn't know.
Yeah.
No. I guess it's like any plant. I guess they all eat CO2.
Yeah. And they are amazing. Mm-hmm. Apparently you can eat most of the seaweed that's found on British shores.
Oh.
So that's something if you're interested in foraging foods, which I am.
Oh, well, get yourself down the beach, Rosie, eat some seaweed.
I'm a coastal bitch. I think we should like recap what we were saying there about the uncanny, mm-hmm. just in case. I think it's nice to like recap on like key art terms and just general like, because a lot of art terms are also like literature terms and like things like that. So the uncanny, I think we talk about the uncanny all the time and people might not know what the uncanny is. Mm-hmm. And this will explain, I think this is the perfect opportunity to explain the uncanny.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
So the uncanny is like, well, Freud came up with the uncanny valley, mm-hmm. I think, which I just refer to as the uncanny.
Yeah.
And it's when something is familiar, but altered or changed or just put in a different context to make it unfamiliar. Mm. So it's like, it basically sparks off stuff in your brain so that you're feeling emotions you would normally have for this object. But the change of circumstance sets off things in your brain that make you uncomfortable, mm-hmm. because you know it's not quite right.
Yeah.
It's almost like deja vu or like one of those like uneasy feelings that you get of like you know something is a little bit askew.
Yes. And sometimes you can identify that fact and sometimes not.
Yes. So sometimes you're just left with this really like, well, this uncanny feeling. Mm. This like, it is its own thing.
Yeah.
And this is perfect because it's kind of talking about like what is, well, a lot of what we've been talking about recently, I think, is about what is and is not human, what is familiar and what isn't.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I think like this has a very, because it's talking about like the future, but it also has very human elements to it, like Lucy's face.
Yeah.
And the little eyes. I interpret them as eyes. So it's like the walls are looking back at you.
Oh, yeah.
And these like weird wooden spindly figures. It's like almost like robots.
Clothes.
Yeah. So then they're kind
of like humanizes them.
Mannequins. And on one of my favorite podcasts ever, My Favorite Murder, mm-hmm. there's a famous saying, it's never a mannequin. It's always a body. That's the context of that because it's about true crime and murder. But this is a mannequin.
Yes.
But that's the whole thing. Like when people find, it's really horrible when people find like bodies and it's really horrible and like they come across this horrible sight, their brains don't want to comprehend what they're seeing. Mm-hmm. So they just have to convince themselves it's a mannequin until they absolutely cannot believe that anymore. And they're like looking at a dead body. But that's uncanny. Your brain doesn't want to...
Like it's not ready to deal with that.
Yeah. So you just have this feeling, lingering feeling in your subconscious. So there we are.
Yeah.
Every day's a school day, guys.
Certainly is. But yeah, I just want to have a quick chat about that because it was just a really great exhibition.
Yeah. I was so impressed with the Humber Street Gallery. I am excited to go back because we absolutely will go back.
I think next month we're potentially planning to go down.
So if that's not a good review, I don't know what else is. Like we are literally going back to Hull just for the gallery.
Pretty much. So just again, if you missed it, the artist is Aniara Oman and the show is called Equinipolis. That took me a few times to say because it's one of those words.
It would be really funny because you've done it loads in this episode if you just edit together all the times you've had to practice. Cut
that
out.
I'll do that at some point, you know. I'll mash together like a super cut.
Yes,
that's gonna take so much time. Oh my god. But yeah, I'll do that at some point.
Beautiful.
Okay, well thanks for listening. We can still do all the social spiel.
Yeah.
So you can follow it on Instagram and Twitter at HighArtWhat'sGood, and you can see all the pictures of this exhibition since you can't go see it.
Absolutely.
Or if you did go see it, tell us about it. Tell us what you thought.
I always love an interpretation.
Yes, please. Hull-based peeps.
Yeah. And then tell us what else is good in Hull.
Please do, yes. There's got to be more than that one street.
Right. I mean, I should hope. It's a whole city of culture.
Yeah.
Like now just the street of culture. Yeah. Send us an email. We're at
heyartwhatsgood@gmail.com.
I always get mixed up because I'm like, it's at.
But there's also another
at. Yeah. And that always throws me. And then heyartwhatsgood.com.
Indeed. So thank you for listening.
Until next time. We'll talk to you in a few days.
Yeah, Saturday. Oof. Don't know when this is coming out, but we'll in a few.
Bye.